which is sort of basically a testimony meeting too, to sort of get your any of your thoughts reflecting back on any of the discourses or fellowship. And so since we are a rather, you know, smaller group now, you can pretty much say whatever you want. You know, be it long or short, and we'll just, you know, go from there. And again, if it's the mic situation, if you want to come up to the front, you know, I think that might be the best, you know. And if it gets a little slow, I might call on you. I know certain situations coming up. Who would like to be first?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'll just turn it this way. Yeah.
Well, I might call on Sister Marilyn. Because I know she's making a little change. She's going to be, for the winter, come on down here, Marilyn, tell the friends what you're going to be doing for this winter. Where you went last winter and where you're going this winter. Because she and her husband have become snowbirds and they'll be leaving us for a while. Marilyn Burns from our Kalispell class.
Well, dear brethren, I didn't plan on coming up here, but I want to tell you how I've appreciated all of the speakers and what a lovely convention it's been. And it's been such a privilege for me to just do a little part, be the tea maker. So anyway, our plans are, Lord willing, we're going to be in San Diego this winter starting December 15th. We're taking our fifth wheel down there, so I've already asked the Rices where the meeting is, so I plan on attending that meeting, and I'm really looking forward to it. So anyway, I just, Lord bless you all, and I'm so happy that you were able to come.
Thank you, Marilyn. We'll miss you when you go. Last year they went down to the Phoenix area in Arizona, and so this year they'll be going down to San Diego. So we'll miss her and Greg, but they'll be back around, I think, April or so, yeah, once the worst part of the winter is over. Any other reflections or testimonies? I thought we had a very interesting panel discussion on the Christian armor. And a lot of the questions that came afterwards concerning some of the, you know, end time experiences of the that the church and the great company might be going through, and, you know, some of the prophetic implications of, talked about John the Baptist and the John the Baptist class and some of the experiences that the feet members might be going through at the end of this age, which I thought were very interesting. And how important it is to keep all of the facets of that armor on, to protect ourselves, but also I appreciated the thought that the sword of the Spirit is really the only offensive weapon, and so that could be used, you know, to really give perhaps a striking message, you know, if need be. So I thought that was a very interesting point. Mr. Joy?
I'm going to hold it for you.
Yeah, I wanted to come up here because I didn't want Mark to call on me. It's been such a blessing to have all of you here, and I enjoyed every bit of fellowship that I had at this convention, and there was something in every talk, it seemed like, that really struck me. And there were a couple thoughts. I really like the idea of the prodigal son, speaking of that as the gracious father, and to realize he was gracious toward two extremes, the indulgence extreme and the performance extreme, and that the grace of God is undeserved kindness. I really appreciate that, and that we have the privilege of extending that kindness to people and as a reflection of our Father. And so I want to be more faithful in that. And I appreciated the thought and the two brothers about the rivalry that started right at the beginning between Lucifer, because of Lucifer's rivalry with the Logos, and then the pictures in the different brothers, Jacob and Esau and Ishmael and Isaac, and you know, you can just see over and over it's repeated, and it really is a part of human, fallen human nature to have this jealousy and comparison thing happen, and we really do need to guard our hearts where that's concerned. And there were some miscellaneous thoughts. I appreciated the thought on Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the hope of all the glorious things to come. And the phrase from discussion or the talk on Acts that went into the pictures in that chapter in Acts, the ship will be lost, but the people will be saved. And then there was a statement made today in one of the talks about you can't fill up a glass with God's goodness if it's filled with something else. And that makes me think, and I really, really appreciated the panel on the armor. To me, it was very practical, and in some areas, a little bit new kind of insight into what armor can mean for my own life. And I appreciated the stress on total commitment. And when you think of the commitment of a soldier, you know, a soldier lays his life on the line. And there's also the connection of the soldiers even in an army. It's like we're standing together. And, you know, that's a privilege, I feel, to have that relationship with each of you. And there are just a couple of thoughts. Let's see. Oh, and the breastplate of righteousness, settling on the righteousness of your cause and then loving the righteousness of your cause because it's over your heart. This is where our affections are. And the assurance I got that is that whatever the future requires of us in speaking out the truth and being faithful, that if we continue day by day to use this armor and to be equipped, we will be ready for whatever happens. But it's kind of like you can't. I used to do Taekwondo, and you can never know what a sparring match is like. But if you do the exercises and you prepare, then your reflexes are ready, and you and you're ready to, you know, respond to whatever happens. And that's where we're preparing every day for whatever the Lord has for us in the future. So I really want to be faithful in these challenges every day so that I'll be ready.
Okay.
And let's see. Oh, I thought this was really good. If we have a doubt, we need to resolve it. And I can really see that that's important, because not doing that can lead to a crisis of faith eventually. Anyway, I just feel completely blessed, and I'm all mixed up on my pages are, so I'm ruining the notes. But I want to thank you again for everyone that made the effort to attend, and there were a lot of brethren in our class that did a lot of work. I grateful for their efforts also, and I'm very grateful for our class. And the Lord has put us together, it's wonderful to have a spiritual family to study with and to know that we are standing for the same cause. And so I love all of you.
Now, before you go, how are your parents doing?
Oh, it's a good thing you said that. Yes, my mother and father both send their love from New Haven, Connecticut. And in fact, the New Haven class sends their love, and so does, and especially Rick and Trish, my brother and my sister-in-law, and especially Alan Marie Lewis. I spoke with Marie this afternoon, and she was not well enough. She was hoping to come for the panel discussion and lunch, and she just is not up to it. And she said she was thinking of the convention the whole time, and she really misses everyone. So I know she would appreciate being remembered in prayer.
Okay. And just before how long have you been here in Montana?
Well, I moved here in 1982. That's about 29 years. Yes.
Okay. And do you remember some of your early reflections? Were there conventions back then?
Yeah. When I first came here, we had conventions, I believe, at the Outlaw Inn for a number of years, and then we had some conventions at the Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp.
Okay, yeah.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But any more personal recollections, like of Sister Buck, Sister Lucille?
Oh, yeah. Sister Buck was a very faithful sister. And, yeah, we met together and studied together and... yeah, I appreciated her very much. She, that's okay.
Now they can see her.
Yes, and I remember even when it came time for her to be in the nursing home, we would visit and sing hymns, and she would sing on the top of her voice.
Oh, really? Yeah.
She liked to sing hymns.
Yeah. Good. And you knew her husband too, Manuel?
Yes.
Quite well?
I didn't know him very well, but he had a lot of stories about, he was part of building the Hungry Horse Dam years ago, and he had a lot of experiences, you know, camping and backpacking and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He was a very nature-oriented person. Mm-hmm. He had a good garden, too.
Okay, good. I remember, I met him several times, but I think I remember hearing that Brother Zainal used to come out here years ago, and Brother Zainal used to like to go fishing with him.
Yeah.
The two of them would go fishing, I guess, Brother Zainal. I don't remember him. Maybe some others here remember him quite well, but he really liked to fish, and so he and Sister Buck's husband would go out fishing someplace. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Mark.
Okay, any other? Oh, Brother Mitchell?
If I can get there.
Here?
Yeah.
Hello, friends. I enjoyed the convention very much and enjoyed all of the discourses. And especially the services of the brethren who helped us to respond at the last moment. And that's Brother David Blanco to help take over when Brother Tim couldn't come. I appreciated the thought of the discourse on grace that Brother Tom gave, and it was interesting to see how much favor the Lord has bestowed upon us, and that this grace means unmerited favor, and so God has a plan for the salvation of the world of mankind. It's a part of His creative purposes to establish mankind on the earth, and it was going through the permission of evil and so on, but that he would take out from the world of mankind a little flock that would be associated with Jesus in the future. To me, is a wonderful favor from God, I've contemplated on this a number of times, and that the Lord didn't go to the angels to develop a little flock, but that he came to earth, and that Jesus had to come to the earth and experience what it's like to live among mankind so that someday he could be a great high priest to help mankind up the highway of holiness. And so Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered so that he would be qualified to be a high priest. And so we are going through that same education to be qualified to be under priests and to be associated with Jesus in that work. And I appreciated the example from Proverbs that the Holy Spirit it searches out the inward parts of man. So the Holy Spirit not only enlightens us with the truth, but it also works on us in a way that that we can look inwardly and to see whether we are developing according to the Lord's principles, and that we are developing the same characteristics as our Savior. And so I'm thankful for these lessons. They stand out, and there are others also about the brothers, and about David and Solomon, and especially the panel discussion. I really enjoyed that, and all of the lessons to realize how the Lord is dealing with us. And I wanted to point out that we got a telephone call from Vera Bleachers, and a number of brethren heard that my brother was going for a dialysis treatment, my brother Walter, and in the process of taking him from the wheelchair to the ambulance in order to take him for dialysis, they dropped him. And he got bruised up quite bad, but he's coming along. He had x-rays taken last Tuesday, and there were no broken bones. So they were thankful for that. So, brethren, I'm happy for this convention, and I want to thank all the brethren who were able to come. And last, probably, Brother Nikolai, who was how the Lord, as Sister Becky was telling me, how he was to take a certain trip in order to deliver some things, and suddenly, all of a sudden, someone else was given that job, and that freed him to come to the convention. So we're glad that he could make it.
Okay, well, thank you, Brother Mitchell, for your thoughts and those reflections on this past convention. Mm-hmm. Brother Nikolai?
Yeah, we'll keep rotating this thing.
Are you going to hold it?
Yeah.
Brother Mark and dear brethren, I'm especially thankful to be here for this convention. The last 12 months of my life has been really different because of this new job that I have. And it's been a stressful time for Becky and me because, you know, our life, our fleshly life has changed. You know, our working life has changed quite a bit. So it's been a difficult couple of years. So this convention is just particularly sweet. just to take some time away from the world and away from the pressures and everything, and it's a real blessing to feel the Lord's overruling that I was able to be here, because, you know, I just really did not know that I could be here and commit to anything. So I wasn't involved in any of the planning of the convention. All the other brethren here did that, and then I just turn up and benefit from it. So I've just got a lot to be thankful for. And before I forget too, I want to pass on the love of my mother. I spoke with my mom probably about 2 weeks ago, and she's 82 years of age now. And she lives alone in her apartment, but she's close to the brethren, and they have meetings at her condo. And she's doing really well. And spiritually, she's as young as ever. And that's a real blessing. And she wants to be remembered to all of the brethren here. And also, I did receive a telephone call from Brother Gerald and Sister Judith Black. They were actually on a road trip returning home through Montana, and they happened to call me, and they got me, and they wanted to also be especially remembered to the brethren here at the convention. You know, I wasn't able to be here for the first part of the convention, but I took notes on all the discourses, and I got a blessing from all of the discourses. But without taking too much time, I just wanted to refer to one specific item that I've had a chance to think about a little bit, and it was just in today's discourse from the Song of Solomon. And I just wanted to say how I really appreciate having my attention turned to that simple statement there in verse 8 of chapter 6 that refers to the virgins without number. You know, that's such a beautiful connecting little scripture that I've never come across before. And, you know, over the years in Phoenix, you know, we've had many discussions on, you know, chapter 7 of Revelation and on the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And of course, we've had brethren who have different beliefs and different thoughts. We had one brother in our class who definitely could not see that the Great Company class is a spiritual class. You know, so that was part of our you know, Bible student argument. You know, like within a family, you know, good argument. To me, this is a beautiful connecting little scripture here that connects those two sets of scriptures. And I think it's just wonderful to see in the scriptures how merciful the Heavenly Father is to His people, even though He identifies how many of us are put into a category where we're less faithful. But He still treats us as virgins. I think that's one beautiful feature of the details that we've been exposed to. You know, it's the Heavenly Father is telling us that He's still, you know, looking at this group as a virgin class. This what this scripture says, you know, virgins without number. And then just briefly, I want to read the verses in the account that was referred to in Genesis about Lot. Because I've got some verses underlined here, and I think it's significant to notice, again along the lines of God's mercy and God's provision for His people, which is becoming, you know, more and more significant for us as we see the end of the end coming closer. And you're all familiar, of course, with that whole story about how the angels came down to get confirmation about the extent of the evil in Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, they got their confirmation, and of course, they were locked in the house with Lot and his family, and they struck the inhabitants with blindness, and of course, they spent the night. So I just want to read these few verses here where the account picks up in Genesis chapter 19 with, you know, the following the events of the following morning. And it begins there in verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. But Lot said unto them, O not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. You know, when you read these verses in the context of, you know, what it represents, I mean, the Lord's mercy is just wonderful. And I really love how these verses show how the angel was speaking to Lot with authority. So I really think this was probably Michael, the Logos, that was sent down to accomplish this mission, which in itself is probably a picture of, you know, the authority that our returned Lord has in culminating things this end of the age. But it's just a wonderful picture of how much mercy the Heavenly Father has for his faithful people, even though we know here that the representation is of a portion of the Lord's people that obviously are less faithful, that they needed not only an encouragement, but they needed to be literally taken out, because the Lord would not permit that, you know, that Lot would share in the fall of this city because of the iniquity. So it's just a wonderful picture, and I really appreciate so many of the thoughts at this convention that have turned my attention to the beauty of the truth that we've all known for so long. And I pray that the Heavenly Father continue to bless you and strengthen you and keep you strong on the narrow path. And I ask an interest in your prayers that I might remain faithful and not weaken. Lord bless.
Well, thank you, Brother Mikolai, for that testimony and for those thoughts and directing our attention there in Genesis to that deliverance of Lot there. Who would be next with any reflections or comments?
We got this telephone call during dinner tonight, mm-hmm. and Sister Vera and Brother Walter sent a letter here to all the brethren.
Okay, yeah. I think you all heard that, yeah. Brother Walter and Sister Vera from the Detroit, Michigan class send their love to all their friends here at the convention. Mm-hmm. Brother Tom?
I hate to let time go by like this. So. And if you ask my wife, she'd say he wouldn't miss an opportunity to say something. So, I enjoyed. Thank you for inviting me out here. I hadn't been here in so long, and it may not be the surroundings of Flathead Lake, but the fellowship is just as sweet, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I want to share two things. One, I have another very, very favorite alternate reading from another translation. I shared that little one the other day. But I like using today's English version. One of the sisters in our class, that's all she brings, and she uses it. And I've gotten to like that translation. And one that just thrills my heart is the Ephesians 1, 8 through 12. So if you'll indulge me to read those verses, and I think you'll pick up of why I like this translation. Because it uses a word that I don't think is otherwise used in King James, but is very meaningful to us. It says, "In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he had purposed and made known to us the secret plan that he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. God's plan, which he will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together everything in heaven and on earth with Christ as head. For all things are done according to God's plan and decision. And God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And I don't think King James uses plan anywhere, but I just love that passage, God's plan. Oh, if everyone would know that, God has a plan. Anyway, so I just wanted to share that. By way of a reflection, I mentioned this earlier to some in some fellowship, but it wasn't the last time I was here. I think it may have been the time before that, and I don't even remember what year that was, but one of the, sometimes you get these assignments that push you outside your comfort zone. I'd never led a panel before, so thank you. It pushed me beyond anything I've done. But a number of years ago when I was invited here, the class assigned me a topic to lead a study, an entire group study. And the topic that was assigned was getting to know Jesus more personally. And that has been so meaningful to me. And I remember years ago when George Eldridge was in our class in Jackson, he was always talking about the Lord Jesus. And, you know, I actually found that quite striking because it seemed like all we talk about is the Heavenly Father. And that study, preparing that study, was a tremendous personal blessing to me because it helped me get to know Jesus a lot more personally and why he did what he did, why he made the decisions he did. That I just want to thank you. I realize some of you weren't part of that, but I thank the Kalispell Ecclesia for that great blessing. And it's been very meaningful. So I've enjoyed the fellowship and being here. I don't know if this will embarrass her or not, but I just had a delightful dinner conversation with Sister Susan. We were off in our own world talking about something that talking about seeing places, and she does some traveling. I guess when I'm not embarrassing you, am I? Oh, okay, good. having worked in national parks, and she started talking about Civil War battlefields and all this stuff, we found a common ground there that is probably my other favorite topic, the reason I like it and going to these places is because there's so much of the human experience that in my lifetime I won't be able to comprehend. We hope to be working with so many people from all ages and many experiences down through life, many bitter and hard. And so I find that especially meaningful to try and learn as much as I can from history and books and about the human experience, to feel what they went through, so that we're better able to help them if we have that privilege of being there with our Lord. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brother Tom, for sharing those thoughts with us and that very interesting translation there. What was that again? The New English?
Today's English Version.
Today's English Version. Okay, thank you. Sister Dawn?
I'm Sister Dawn Shalhoub from the Rockland, New York Ecclesia, and it has really been a blessing to be here. The fellowship has been particularly sweet. I have had opportunity, I appreciate the long intermissions that the class has provided, because it has given time to be able to fellowship and to have, not just start a conversation and say hello, but to be able to get into some deeper fellowship. And I've appreciated having the opportunity to get to know some brethren that I had never met before or never really spoke with before. Finding out how they came into the truth and hearing those stories and how the Lord has led them in this way, and some that I have known in the past, and hearing some of the heavy trials that they are undergoing. And I appreciate them sharing that, and that we're able to encourage one another. I don't want to forget to bring the love of my parents, Brother Paul and Sister Mary Nally. And Russ brought the love of our ecclesia, but he forgot to bring the love of the Thursday night meeting that we attend, which is the New Brunswick Thursday night meeting. They also asked to send their love. And those are the brethren that you know in that ecclesia are Brother Ken and Sister Virginia Rawson, Brother Bob and Sister Rebecca Gray, and then there's others in the class, but I don't know the others you would know. The talks I also have really received a blessing from. I would say I think every talk I receive some tidbit from that I can go away with. And I'm not going to go through all of them. As a matter of fact, I hadn't even written them all down. And now when I was like, oh, echo meeting. We don't do too many echo meetings out east. So I'm like furiously trying to write notes of some of the things that I especially appreciated. But I'll just hit on a few of the highlights. One of them was with Brother Mike Inslee's talk on David and Solomon. One of the things that I appreciated was the contrast that he was making. Though David had sinned, David's heart was right with God because his repentance was true and deep. And the Lord did punish him for his sin, but he was repentant, and the Lord did bring him back into his fold, so to speak. But Solomon, who started out with such a proper heart attitude, such a humble heart attitude, how he was tempted by the world. In his case, it was the wives and the concubines. But he was tempted by the world, and this led him away from God, these ties to the earth. And that kind of, I was picking up a little bit of thread in some points. One of them was in the panel, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The idea even, and I don't think it was mentioned, but it kind of came to my head, that the connection of that the sandals also, I think Brother Tom made a comment about, you don't want to be walking barefoot, and how you could stumble and you'd hit, you know, things that would hurt your feet and that could lead you out of the way. But it also makes that barrier between the earth and you. And so that I was kind of connecting back with Brother Mike's talk, and also in Brother Arbor's talk about we are of no reputation, we are empty. The idea that we want to be of no reputation and no empty, and to be empty of self and our own ideas, and cautioning us against worldly wisdom. I really appreciated that. I'm in sales as a profession. I sell real estate, and so we're constantly, you know, getting bombarded with these ideas of sales techniques and that sort of thing. And I appreciated his thoughts of making that separation and making sure that we analyze and to look and see that this worldly wisdom is not the wisdom that is from above. I appreciated Brother David's talk on trouble and blessing. I'd actually heard it before, but there's so much in it that you don't pick up all the points. And there were a lot of good tidbits in there. And one that I picked up this time that I'm not sure was actually in a previous time I had heard it was this idea that Felix and Drusilla were, so there were the two of them at one point, and then later when Paul, this was when Paul was before Felix, and then Paul was before Festus, Agrippa, and Bernice. And we are studying this on our Friday night study. We're going through Acts. And I ran across that night, we talked about it, that it was odd that the wives were mentioned. Mm. So why were the wives mentioned? So I appreciated that kind of little tidbit from Brother David. And also in Brother David's talk today on the Song of Solomon, that I appreciate, it's been a while since I've been through the Song of Solomon, and I couldn't help when his talk title was Ivory Palaces. There's that beautiful hymn on Out of the Ivory Palaces. I was thinking that would have been an appropriate one, but it's not in our hymn book. But I appreciated his explanation of the scripture in Song of Solomon that says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till, and I think King James says, he please, and some other translations, it please. And Brother David brought out, it was she please, it's the idea. And I really appreciated the idea that the Lord does not wake the bride, that he lets her wake on her own accord, because it is up to her to make that decision for him and to follow him, to pursue him, and to be faithful to him. And I appreciated that. There were lots of things in the panel that I appreciated. I really enjoyed the panel. The subject of the armor of God is one that we have heard and studied many times, and yet there were still tidbits in there that were new and that I appreciated. One of them was about the darts, and it came up actually in the question meeting about the darts with the fire on the tip, and how the adversary, the point was that was brought up was that that dart was shot at the enemy, and then it was hoped that because it was a fiery dart that it would set the enemy on fire. And I was thinking that, well, that's what Satan does. He attacks us, and it might just be a wound, but that fiery dart tries to consume us. So it might start out with something small, but then consume us. And so, part of that quenching of the fiery dart is that not only doesn't it strike us, but if it strikes us, it doesn't consume us. We stop at that point. I appreciated the quote that I think Tom had made from Brother Carl, don't forget to doubt your doubts. I can't remember that whole, yeah. Don't forget to doubt your doubts. Sometimes they aren't worth considering. That is something that I want to share with a sister that often has this propensity, and I think that will be helpful. And also, I think Joy brought out, if you have doubts, resolve them. And that was the, I think, Brother David's comment, and I'll add to that, don't let them fester. And just so many points I appreciated. I love end time prophecy, and so all those points and the types, and every time I hear more about them, it helps to solidify in my mind how those pieces work together. And so that was very helpful. So many blessings and so much to consider and to think over, and it's just such a blessing to be here. We just really appreciate it.
We certainly enjoyed having you and Brother Russ here. Like you said earlier, yesterday, your first time in Montana. I hope it's not your last. So we certainly enjoyed having both of you here very much. Brother, was there someone else? Brother David? Yeah.
Brother Mark, dear brethren, it's been such a joy to be able to be here with you this weekend. We had the privilege of being here on their last convention, so their rejuvenation of the Kalispell. And we also attended a number of the conventions prior to that when it was held at the Flathead Lake. And we too have seen these little families grow into be big families and to become adults. It's been very interesting to see this progress. Certainly we've seen Joy and Ben's family and the Thompsons and they've grown, and we're glad to see that they're still here and an active part in your class and in your convention. And there's many, many more, and I won't try to remember them all and speak of them all. I was so happy to see the Grugians here today, and we were sorry to hear of their difficulties, but we're also overjoyed that they're not allowing these problems to turn them against the Lord. These are experiences, these are trials, and with the help of each and every one of this class, and those that have attended this weekend, they will overcome, and it will strengthen them, and we're so happy. And I always loved Nikolai's style of delivering his discourses. They always came right from his heart. And just a few moments that he was up here, we saw a little bit of that. And it reminded me, and I hope and pray that the Lord will permit him to get back into the harness of delivering more discourses for our edification in the future. This weekend has been marvelous. I know that it's been disappointing for some of you that have organized this to see the numbers not as high as you would probably like them to be. But from our perspective, it's been a blessing for the simple reason that it's given us the opportunity to fellowship with brethren that we have known, but not intimately or not well in the past. And Brother Russ and Sister Dawn, when we spent our years at the Dawn, helping out down there, we saw them, that there were ships passing in the night, if you will, because they were busy with their work and we were busy with ours. And this weekend, we've had an opportunity to get to know them, to share with them much, much more. And this can be repeated over and over again. And then there's relatively new brother, new to us, that is, and Brother Tom, I loved his talk. I love his message for us. And he reminded us of so many things. And he spoke of the dangers of stumbling a brother. And maybe the possibility that if we're not careful, that somebody that the Lord is bringing into our midst, we stumble them to the point where they fall away. And it's very important that we not have that happen at all. So that, you know, the other thoughts were that we have a most merciful and loving Heavenly Father. He forgives us. He leads us. He wants us to do well. And we have a responsibility to make sure that each and every one of our brethren do well in their Christian walk. And so this has been really wonderful. There's been a lot of terrific comments about the material that's been presented for our thoughts and our minds this weekend. And I know as we travel home and in the coming weeks, these little thoughts are going to come back to us. And we'll say, you remember what so-and-so said. And it's going to fit in here. And this is the thing that always amazes me personally, is that although none of us have consulted with one another, if it's the Lord's word and what the Lord wants us to have, it will all blend together. It doesn't clash. It doesn't grate. It all comes together, and it's what God wants us to hear. And so we're grateful for that. And as I say, the fellowship, you can't get the fellowship on the internet or on any other of those media. You've got to experience it in person. And we're so happy that our daughter Susan enjoys going to convention, and even though she drives miles and miles and miles by herself, she comes because she enjoys the brethren, she enjoys the truth and the message. And of course my dear wife, Sister Bernice, loves the brethren also. But let me finish by saying that we do bring you the love of our small class in Vernon, British Columbia, and as Brother Arbor said this morning, we have our convention and we're starting the wheels in motion for July the, what is it, Bernice? 6th, 7th, and 8th, or something like that. But we'll make sure we publicize it when the time comes. And so we'll look forward to that. And the facilities here are wonderful. The food has been exceptionally good. And what can I say to criticize something? You've got to criticize something. You could leave a little more room between the tables.
Okay.
But all joking aside, brethren, thank you so much for your wonderful hospitality. And Lord willing, if we're still here 2 years from now, we'll hope to make plans to come and visit you again.
Okay.
So great. Thank you, and thank our Heavenly Father for allowing us this great privilege of being a part of this organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Brother David, very much for your comments, and we heartily concur with everything you've said, and we enjoy and appreciate your support and Sister Bernice in past years, you know, supporting the efforts of the brethren here in the Flathead Valley. Mm-hmm. Any other comments, or Brother David?
I'll make it very brief.
Okay.
Thoughts from Brother Ensley's talk, which I enjoyed hearing in Solomon. Just 3 points. I mentioned it to some of the brethren. I never thought about the fact that Solomon was one of the sons of David that had a Hebrew mother, whereas some others didn't. And then I never pieced together. I remember from Carl's talk years ago that Bathsheba was the granddaughter of Ahithophel, that very, very wise counselor, who then took a wrong course, though. And, of course, David was the psalmist and a musically oriented and a cogent writer and a good leader. And I realized how much Solomon had by heredity that was just shaped and polished just to fit him for his position. And in that respect, he had such good advantages as we have, too, by our shaping in the truth. And James 1:5, that wisdom is not compatible with conceit. Never, those two qualities just never, don't go together. Now, I'd like to mention one other point, and that is about somebody who's not here, but some of you may know something, and I don't know everything, and I won't say more than what I know in print. And that's simply that Brother Michael McCora, who has been just, sometimes you take people for granted. I took my father for granted, took all of my fellowship with Brother Carl somewhat for granted, and you know, when they're gone, then you feel the hole. Well, I'm already starting to feel that with Brother Michael. I don't know all the facts. I just know he has a serious disease, serious illness of some sort. And I know that he's starting to withdraw from the various activities that are heaped upon his shoulders, that he's borne extremely well year after year after year. Now we're going to go a little vacuum in that because he's starting to shed those duties and appoint them elsewhere. So keep him in your mind and in your heart in prayer. I know he doesn't like a lot of attention, so I'm even hesitant about this. But I only speak what I've read and what I know. And I value his service very much. And maybe another jewel is ready to leave us. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Brother David, for those thoughts. And we'll certainly keep Brother Michael and Sister Nanette in our prayers and pray for the Lord's overruling in their situation. Mm-hmm. I think we have time maybe for about one more. We've been going for an hour. Anyone else like to share any thoughts? Well, if not, then, brethren, we'll close. We'll read the songs in the night.